Greetings and good morning. Thank you for choosing KVNF Mountain Grown Community Radio. My name is Eric Gould. It's 8 o'clock, and here is your local newscast for Wednesday, October 3rd. The Delta Police Department is investigating a suspicious death that occurred Monday night. According to the police department, officers responded to a call of possible suspicious activity near H-38 Road and Highway 50, a little after 8 p.m. on Monday night. When they arrived, officers found a dead adult male laying on the ground on private property. The cause of death is still unknown, and the deceased man's name has not been released, pending notification of family. Multiple agencies were involved in the initial investigation at the scene. The incident was not a shooting and continues to be investigated as a suspicious death. The Delta Police Department reports there is no community safety risk or concern. Anyone with any information about the incident is asked to contact the Delta Police Department at 874-7676. KVNF will report updated information as it becomes available. A new survey shows that politicians in both parties may be missing the mark when it comes to courting the state's crucial Hispanic voting bloc, which grew by 41% over the last decade. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
Lawmakers often talk about immigration reform as if it's the top priority for Hispanic voters. But according to a poll from Colorado Latino Leadership, that's not the case. Christine Marquez Hudson is the executive director of the Mi Casa Resource Center, which helped write and conduct the survey.
What the respondents said was their number one priority was education. And I think this makes a lot of sense. Education is the future for the Latino community, but it's also an area where Latinos are not doing well. We have an incredible dropout rate in our youth in high school. Not enough Latinos are going on to college and securing advanced degrees.
Jobs and the economy, followed by access to health care, rounded out the top three issues. Immigration reform and support for a pathway to citizenship and the DREAM Act was ranked fourth. Marquez Hudson says the goal of the survey is to make sure the Latino voice is heard in the presidential election.
What is happening at the national level is an effort to separate Latinos from other American voters. And I think what this study shows is that we have a lot more in common than we have different.
610 Hispanic voters responded to the statewide survey. While the vast majority said they were Democrats, the top issues of concern were the same across party affiliation. Respondents also overwhelmingly said they wanted more policy specifics from both presidential candidates and an end to partisan gridlock. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
A few years ago, an 8,000-gallon gas tanker clipped a curb and tipped over near Delta, spilling gasoline. Now, Delta County is more able to respond to hazardous material spills like that one. Delta County's emergency manager, Rob Fiedler, reported the news to Delta County commissioners on Monday. KVNF's Marty Derlin has more.
With a $20,000 federal grant, emergency manager Rob Fiedler recently purchased and equipped two hazmat trailers for Delta and Hotchkiss fire departments. That's important, says Fiedler, because about one-third of the traffic on Highway 50 is carrying hazardous material, which could present public health concerns.
Anything from spilled gasoline tankers to fracking water, especially with all the oil drilling, all the chemicals, and then, of course, U.S. 50 is a major north-south route.
And some trucks carry nuclear waste, says Fiedler. Most of it comes from the Rocky Flats nuclear weapons plant near Boulder and the Idaho National Laboratory in Idaho Falls, and is hauled to the Waste Isolation Pilot Program in northeastern New Mexico.
They're starting to haul stuff out of Rocky Flats and out of Pueblo, and some of that could very well be coming through here, the spent nuclear.
In addition to the new hazmat trailers, Fiedler told the commissioners that there are now three certified hazmat technicians in the county. That's a 300% improvement, says Fiedler, since the county has had no one qualified since the county's former integrated solid waste coordinator, Gary Vance, left in April. Another 13 people are also certified to assist in such an emergency. For KVNF News, I'm Marty Derlin.
The 4-H Council visited the Delta County Commissioners on Monday to thank them for their support during the past year. KVNF's Marty Derlin reports.
As the commissioners and 4-H'ers mingled over cake, some of the kids talked about why they like the organization that focuses on head, heart, hands, and health. Tess Gore.
It gives you more people skills, and it gets you to do a lot more things than you thought you could do.
Trenton Carr.
I like that you get to have a good experience around animals, and I like showing my animals. Last year I did a heifer and two pigs, and I'll probably do that again this year.
Grady Simpson.
I've shown steers, pigs, goats, and this year I'm only doing a steer and a pig maybe. And this year I won grand champion overall and reserve grand champion overall in cows.
Caleb Carr.
We got like jobs where you have to go and you are in the concession stand and you sell like drinks and food.
You like that part?
Yeah, yeah. And showing pigs.
The children posed for photos with the commissioners and received congratulations for a job well done. For KVNF News, I'm Marty Derlin.
The Shearer Creek fire near Durango has continued to grow and is now between 6 to 8 acres. 10 San Juan hotshots have joined 32 firefighters on scene at the fire, located in the San Juan National Forest, about 3 miles west of Lemon Reservoir. Another smaller fire in the same area has been contained. A Type 3 helicopter is making water drops. The fire was started by lightning and reported Sunday night. It currently isn't threatening any structures. Members of the West Elk Mountain Rescue Team completed their fourth rescue of the summer on Sunday when they helped rescue an injured climber from the Marble area. The climber didn't return to the trailhead Saturday night and was still missing Sunday morning. KVNF's Ariana Brocious spoke to West Elk Mountain Rescue President Phil Volkhausen, Training Director Steve Morris, and team member Tony Prendergast about the rescue and the team's efforts.
Can one of you explain what happened and the rescue that you all performed?
The Gunnison County Sheriff received a call out around 8:15 Saturday evening in regards to this lost, at the time, hiker-climber who had been separated from his team members. Early in the morning, we all gathered and made our way over to Marble, which is our first staging area, and then all into Lead King Basin, which there's a number of trails that break from there, one of which heads up to Geneva Lakes and on higher and is an access route for Snowmass Mountain, which is one of those 14,000-foot peaks. We sent out a hasty team, and those gentlemen, which Tony Prendergast here was a part of, were the first team members to access the patient and began ascertaining his injuries and what have you. At some point, Western State Rescue, which is the college out of Gunnison, was called as well, and they arrived 2-3 hours after I think we arrived and been hiking out. And meanwhile, we had broken up into a climbing team as well as a kind of a litter team, which would be carrying up a bunch of the heavier equipment.
And what condition was he in when you guys found him, Tony?
Well, as we started hiking up into the basin, we ran into some campers who had been in contact with him the night before by yelling, and he had yelled down that he was lost, freezing, and needed help. And he was, you know, a couple thousand feet above them, but they were able to hear that, but they weren't able to get to him. And so that was the last known location where he was at. And we got up into the basin and started glassing the west face of the mountain, and then were able to spot him. He descended down the mountain a couple thousand feet, and he was coming down a very steep couloir, and the base of the couloir, there was a cliffy section. And in those cliffs, as he was trying to, I assume he came down in the morning after it got light, and it appeared that he slipped somewhere in those cliffs and fell. He fell a little ways, obviously, and had landed on a ledge, and that was where we saw him laying. And then we made our way up to him and started patient stabilization and stuff like that. I was the first one to reach him, and it was a very dramatic scene. There was a good splash of blood on the rocks where he'd hit, and he was laying in a crumpled pile. Ended up that he had multiple fractures, and we heard later had punctured a lung and had a collapsed lung, and he was quite hypothermic as well. So he needed some help real bad, but we had to hold him on that place for several hours before a helicopter was able to get in there, and also some more technical climbing equipment to effect the evacuation lower down that cliff section. So it was a very long day sitting there with him, hoping he would be able to hold on, and holding on to him to keep him from rolling on down that cliff face. So yeah, quite a dramatic day.
Steve, so then your teams met up with Tony's team, and I understand there was also a helicopter called in.
Yeah, so the two teams did eventually meet, and I climbed up to where Tony was and helped with the stabilization of the patient. And when Western State showed, they had some more technical gear, and we packaged them up in a litter and lowered them off of basically off of a 50-foot or so cliff. It wasn't exactly vertical, but it was very steep, and then continued on belay to lower him another, probably 300-400 feet, a couple hundred feet vertical and 300-400 feet lateral. And we had put in a request earlier in the day and then kept requesting harder and harder to have a helicopter service out of Rifle. It's called DBS Helicopter Service, who has performed some amazing rescues already this summer. And they came out, and they were able to land basically on one skid, drop the paramedic off. The helicopter then lifted up again and kind of pivoted and found maybe a little bit better landing spot. Still mostly hovering, touching the ground, but mostly hovering. And the paramedic led a group of people that were from multiple teams with the litter, and then eventually load them into the helicopter, and off they went.
It was just a very dramatic loading effort as well, though. Just when a helicopter's pretty much hovering like that with just one skid on the ground, it's just a very touchy situation, and the team had to move in there very quickly and take the patient out of the litter that we had him in and get him moved into this pretty small chopper. And extremely capable pilot, able to operate in that situation at over 12,000 feet elevation.
Truly, truly amazing.
Yeah. Kudos to that pilot.
Yeah, and so then the pilot airlifted the patient over to the hospital, where I understand he was then transferred to Denver for further care, and you all hiked back out?
Indeed. It was definitely an amazing team effort, and I know I was pretty stoked to be a part of it.
Do want to say we got excellent help from Western State College. They did a very, very good job. And our crew, I was, as the president of the organization, I rate ourselves every time, and our crew did a wonderful job, and it was a real uplifting experience to see the helicopter fly away with a guy. It was very emotional, and it was a good day.
A lot of us are on these teams because we also like to go spend time in the mountains, whether it be hunting or mountain climbing or just backpacking. And it's part of being part of a community, know that you help somebody else out, and if you get in a pickle someday, you can be helped out.
Well, thanks to all of you for being out there and helping keep us all safe. And thanks for coming in today.
Hey, super cool.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The West Elk Mountain Rescue is a volunteer group with about 20 members. They meet the first Wednesday of every month, which is tonight, at the Ambulance Barn in Paonia. On Saturday, a new recreational bicycle event called Tour of the Moon will travel through Colorado National Monument. The touring cyclists will travel from the east entrance near Grand Junction to the west entrance near Fruta over Rimrock Drive, and will be restricted to cycling in the westbound lane only. There will be some local traffic restrictions because of the event. Area residents are encouraged to visit the Colorado National Monument website for details. And that concludes your local newscast for Wednesday. For Mountain Grown Community Radio, KVNF, I'm Eric Gould. Have a great hump day, and thanks so much for listening.